Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Wednesday, October 4th, 2023. Mike Adams here, and I want to start out by saying, Congressman Matt Gaetz, we are with you. We are with you. We support you. And of course, Kevin McCarthy, the... Let me choose my words carefully. The disappointing, shall we say, Speaker of the House was removed in an historic vote. And Matt Gaetz was the architect of that effort to remove Kevin McCarthy. And Kevin McCarthy, who I would characterize as a traitor to the position of Speaker of the House. You're supposed to represent the people. And it's very clear that Kevin McCarthy only represents the corporate interests, big pharma, big ag, the war machine, all of it. Open borders, globalism, you name it. Kevin McCarthy is, again, I've got to remain calm on this. Kevin McCarthy does not deserve to be your representative, nor the Speaker of the House. He is... he does fit side by side with Nancy Pelosi, though, by the way, because they both have betrayed America. And we, the people, are sick and tired of it. We support Matt Gaetz. We support the effort to boot everybody out of Congress who isn't representing the people, who isn't closing the border, who isn't supporting the impeachment of Joe Biden and exposing the Biden crime family. And by the way, Trump's endorsement of Kevin McCarthy is another horrible choice by Trump, whose kryptonite weakness seems to be choosing traitors and putting them into positions of power. Like that's Trump's, well, I guess you could call it his superpower, but also his kryptonite weakness. What Trump did in his first term is he just kept choosing people that betrayed America, like Jeff Sessions, for example. Or, you know, Bill Barr later on. And then Kevin McCarthy. I mean, come on, Trump. How many times are you going to be fooled? How many times? Oh, drats, suckered again. I mean, if Trump can't figure out how to choose and endorse better people, more honest people, then why should any of us support Trump as president, frankly? I mean, it's insane. And Trump actually kept Fauci on at the NIAID, and it was Trump that refused to fire James Comey at the FBI, who turned out to be another traitor. Now, granted, the swamp is filled with traitors. Well, you don't have to appoint people from the D.C. area. You know, there's a whole country beyond Virginia and the District of Criminals and Maryland and Connecticut. You know, there's a whole country. You can go to Oklahoma and find people. You can go to Colorado. You can go to Utah. There's people all over the country. There's people in Texas, if you haven't noticed. Pick some good people instead of lining up a bunch of traitors all the time. So Matt Gaetz is doing good work right now. In fact, I want you to hear from Matt Gaetz here as he responds to the allegations from Kevin McCarthy, who is out, booted. Yeah. Bye-bye, McCarthy. Thanks for your service. Well, I mean, McCarthy's still in Congress, but he's no longer the Speaker of the House. But listen to Matt Gaetz respond.
I can get a word in here. I am the only Republican in the entire United States Congress who takes no lobbyist money and no PAC money. So absolutely, I communicate daily, vigorously with regular Americans, because the only way I'm able to advance my political goals is if just regular folks give me $10, $20, $30. And so I will take no lecture from the likes of people who do three lobbyist fundraisers a day and trade favors in order to get cash from special interests on how I raise money. And I take deep offense to anyone who wants to criticize the mailman, the active duty service member, the grandmother who believes in me and goes to mattgaetz.com to donate. Matter of fact, right. I hope they do that right now. And I'm not sorry for it at all, because I won't take the lobbyist and PAC money like every other person here does.
Well, I think that's awesome that you don't. I think
all right, you tell him, Matt Gaetz. We're with you, Matt. I mean, Matt is one of the very few truth tellers in a swamp filled with rhino swamp creatures. They're like rhinos with tentacles. It's like the swamp monster. It's like rhinos with like shivering vines growing off of their necks or something. It's insane. The swampification of D.C. is so insane that it's remarkable when someone rejects the swamp, which is what Matt Gaetz is doing here. And let me just say a message to all the other GOP rhino scumbags in the House and in the Senate. We're going to boot all of you sooner or later from political office. You're all going to be exposed. You're all going to be booted. And your time in the House, skimming off the American people, getting paid in exchange for political favors, your time is coming to an end. Because the American people are fed up with all of you pushing hundreds of billions of dollars, or at least $113 billion, to Ukraine and not defending the U.S. border, for God's sake. What is wrong with you people? The Republicans are supposed to be the ones defending America, but no. It's a uniparty system. It's all one big party or one big club, and you're not in it, as George Carlin famously said. Yeah, it's a club of the wealthy elite, and you're not in it. I'm not in it. We're the outsiders. We're supposed to be the slaves. We're the ones that just pay the taxes while these grifters in Washington, D.C. keep stuffing their pockets and bank accounts off the backs of the American taxpayer. And thank God it's people like Matt Gaetz who have had enough of it, and senators like Rand Paul who have had enough of it. Why are you sending so much money to Ukraine while America is collapsing? Have you seen the murder, the lootings, the robberies, the rapes in the cities across America? We have another left-wing activist that was just stabbed to death. I think this was in New York City. I'll get to that story here in a little bit. But just on the sidewalk, a guy in a suit jacket with his date standing out on the sidewalk, and some, you know, probably drugged up scumbag with a knife comes up and stabs him to death in the heart. Boom. Just like that. Because America is collapsing while these lunatics in Congress only care about sending money to Ukraine. The rule of law is collapsing. The judicial system is a nightmare with selective prosecution, only prosecuting conservatives, i.e. Trump supporters, for example. But never prosecuting Democrats, it seems. Amazing how that works. Democrats get away with everything. By the way, since I mentioned Trump, you do realize, right, that the House could nominate Trump. You know, the Speaker of the House does not have to be a member of the House. It could be someone else. It could be Donald J. Trump. And frankly, I think Donald J. Trump would be perfect for that role right now. Why not? I guess he could be president and Speaker of the House at the same time. So you put Trump in as Speaker of the House, which, of course, would require the rhinos to vote for him. So I'm not saying that this is a likely thing to happen, but it is plausible. It could happen. And by the way, Trump was nominated for the Speaker of the House today. So that's already a done deal. He's been nominated. So, and Matt Gaetz is talking about maybe Lee Zeldin could be Speaker of the House. And Lee Zeldin, as you recall, I believe ran for governor of New York and probably had that election stolen from him as well. So I say Trump for Speaker. Hey, you know, here's something fascinating. I was interviewing somebody today, and you probably know who this person is, Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. And that interview will run in a couple of days here. But Greg and I had a great time. We had a great conversation. This is my first chance to interview Greg, and because he's usually interviewing everybody else. And frankly, he almost never does these interviews. Almost never. So I felt, you know, really privileged that he would do an interview with me, and I could ask him anything I wanted, which was awesome. And so he said that according to his sources, and he named some of them, like Martin Armstrong, for example, that Joe Biden is only polling right now in the honest polls, in real numbers, he's polling at an approval rating of 9.5%, okay? Under 10%. A couple months ago, it was 11 or 12%. Now it's under 10%. So when you see polls out there in the media that claim that Joe Biden has, you know, 35%, no. Total lie. But those numbers are pathetic anyway. In reality, Joe Biden has under 10% support, which means the only way the Democrats can stay in power is to carry out the most outrageous vote rigging slash cheating in the history of the United States of America. And nobody knows if they can pull it off that much. I mean, there's no question that Joe Biden can't win an honest election, nor can hardly any Democrat, even against the bow tie wearing conservative congressman or so-called conservative rhino, bow tie rhino. But can they cheat if they only have 10% support, organic support among the voters? I don't know. I mean, really, the Republicans just have to stand up and hold them accountable, stand up for the truth, which is what Matt Gaetz is doing. So, you know, I am tired of conservatives and Republicans who just want to be losers. And that's Kevin McCarthy, just wants to be a loser, just wants to lose all the time and then fundraise off the losing instead of actually winning for America. You know, Matt Gaetz is fighting for victory. Matt Gaetz is not fighting to compromise and lose with dignity. Matt Gaetz is fighting to win with overwhelming support of the American people. And that's who I support. I'm here to help take America back for we the people, not to lose with dignity and surrender to the party of cheaters and crooks and criminals that the Democrats have become. And RFK Jr. recognizes the same thing. That's why he's leaving the Democrat Party. RFK Jr. is about to announce his run as an independent. That's coming in about a week, officially. October 9th, I believe. Oh, and by the way, October 7th, this Saturday, don't miss our 5G summit, which begins at Brighteon University. So that's brightu.com, just the letter U. Bright, just like it sounds, followed by the letter U, brightu.com. Register, it's free. You're going to hear from 40-plus experts on topics like 5G, electromagnetic pollution, and also how you can protect yourself and all kinds of other critical facts to survive our time right now where everything's going crazy. And it's a free event. You just have to register. It's free to watch. You can optionally purchase the full download and some bonus items if you want, but it's not required. So just go to brightu.com and register and enjoy that event. It starts this Saturday. Oh, in fact, the interview I have coming up for you today is with Josh Del Sol, who's the creator of that event. So stay tuned. That's going to be a fascinating interview. And by the way, also, I want to play a video for you here, just a few minutes. I guess I'll do that now. It's a video from my lab. So we have a relatively new ICP-MS instrument, a mass spec instrument for elemental analysis and heavy metals testing. And we have a new auto sampler for it, which is a really cool robot that I think you're going to like to see. So I want to play for you, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes of this video where I'm walking through how the auto sampler works and how it takes up the liquid samples and external standards and changes them into, an ionized stream. It goes through the plasma torch and it does the mass to charge ratio filtration through the quadruple. And it counts the atoms of lead and cadmium and mercury, whatever. But it's a pretty cool video. There's a lot of background noise because of all the rough pumps and fans and vacuums and everything that's running, which is normal in a mass spec lab. It's a very loud place, actually. But check out this 3-minute video. And then I've posted the full video separately, or it will be posted sometime today. The full video is 9 or 10 minutes with a little bit of a podcast intro. So if you want to see more, just check out my channel on brighteon.com. Probably where you're watching this, it's HR Report. Also, of course, we're on Rumble and BitChute and Band.video and other video platforms as well. But check out this 3 minutes. Let's play 3 minutes of the new ICP-MS auto sampler from our lab where we test our products for heavy metals. Check this out. All right, welcome. This is Mike Adams here at CWC Labs. This is one of our auto samplers here. I want to show you a little bit about this. This is our heavy metals testing instrument, which is a mass spec ICP-MS, inductively coupled plasma system. Sorry about the background noise. There's a lot of vacuum pumps here. But this is running through a rinse cycle right now, so it's just dumping that into waste. And what we have here, see, it's going to another rinse container.
These are the external standards that are used to run the calibration curve so that we know what the different concentrations of lead and mercury and arsenic and so on look like. We actually run over 30 elements here, including nutritive elements, zinc, magnesium, manganese, and so on. We can also test aluminum, copper, things like that. And this is a multi-valve system, which, well, let me show you. It's going to load up a sample into this loop here, which is a 1.5 milliliter loop. We'll start the sample loading here shortly. This diagram shows how the valves function, and this shows some of the cycling of how it loads the sample and then does the injection, which turns into an ionized stream of aerosolized particles that are then thrust through this plasma torch tube right here. Oh, hold on a second. It's about to go to sample uptake. I want to show you that because it's a pretty cool process. This is our second ICP-MS instrument here. There's one behind me that also runs, but it's quite a bit older since we've been doing this for a while. All right, here we go. It's going into taking up one of the external standards. It's going to push the liquid through this line and into this sample loop here. You can see it filling, and this is going to waste because it's a little bit extra. All right, now it finished taking up that sample. It's going into the rinse. This is a washing, and these are rinse cycles. Now it's injecting this sample into the ICP-MS for analysis. And it does that by changing the valve and pushing it into this nebulizer, which is a piece of glass with a very special tip on it. It's a nebulizer tip, and this is some pressurized gas here some of it's argon, in order to push that through. And this is the spray chamber. And then it goes through this. It's really bright there because that's a plasma torch inside. The plasma torch destroys all the molecules of the ionized stream. It turns it into charged ions representing the different elements. And then there's a quadrupole unit in there that filters the elements by their mass to charge ratio.
Okay, we've got a lot of other news to cover here. I've got to cover this one. Have you received in the mail a demand to pay an invoice from the Pennsylvania Turnpike, even though you've never been to Pennsylvania, or certainly not recently? Well, I received this from the Pennsylvania Turnpike claiming that my license plates had been snapped in a photo going through the Pennsylvania Turnpike. The toll by plate service then sends a bill to my company address and says we owe $10, and that if we don't pay, then it's going to be collections and all this. But here's the thing. I haven't been to Pennsylvania, and this vehicle has not been to Pennsylvania, and the photo that they send is not a photo of this vehicle. And so I called the Pennsylvania Turnpike people, and they admitted to me on the phone that they're having problems with their system. So apparently, the Pennsylvania Turnpike, which is a massive fraud, by the way, they are just mailing out invoices to people all across the country. I mean, it's very obvious that I wasn't the first person to call in with this complaint. And I was told, by the way, they're just going to delete the whole incident. They're just deleting it from their records. Because they're just sending out invoices all over the country to a bunch of people. And apparently they've acquired some kind of database of license plates. And then they can look up, you know, what's the registered owner of that license plate number using the DMV databases from the states. And they're just sending out basically fraudulent turnpike collections notices all over the country. If you receive one of these, do not pay it. Do not pay it. You may want to complain to your attorney general or member of Congress or somebody who might want to do something about this. But call them and explain to them it's not your vehicle. You've never been there, and tell them to cancel it, and that you've heard this is a bug in their system or a scam, and they're trying to scam everybody all across the nation. So don't pay this. And isn't it infuriating, by the way, that some turnpike in some other state that you never even visit can just whip up a bill and a notice and demand that you pay, and they can turn you over to collections if you don't pay? Isn't that infuriating? I never drove through your damn turnpike in Pennsylvania. I never agreed to any contract with you. You have no right to demand payment and to waste my time with a fraudulent turnpike. I mean, this is a con. This is like a criminal activity that they're running against innocent people across America. And a lot of people would probably just pay the $10 just to get it off their plate, so they don't have to make the phone call and argue about it and whatever. This is a criminal operation being run by the Pennsylvania Turnpike. So if any of you are listening from Pennsylvania, you probably know about this. You've probably been hit by this. And let's see, the Pennsylvania Turnpike in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, that's where their mailing address is. Well, here it is. Their website is paturnpike.com. PA as in Pennsylvania, paturnpike.com. Running a total criminal scam on America. Why am I not surprised? And in Baltimore last night, an active shooter was on a campus of a historical black college in far left Baltimore. Associated Press reporting that multiple people were shot at Morgan State University. Baltimore police said that people should shelter in place and avoid the campus. Several individuals reportedly shot inside the food hall, as many as six people injured, maybe more than one gunman. Shots were fired from an upper floor dorm room window. University is on lockdown. And police are looking for three shooters who remain at large. So that's the latest there, as, of course, America breaks down into total chaos and violence. And now also in Seattle, check this out. Seattle firefighters have their tires slashed, the cars vandalized in newest attack against first responders. So the Seattle Fire Department, they say there's growing frustration that firefighters are being targeted by criminals. What the? Why are criminals targeting firefighters? I mean, who's going to put out your fire when your meth lab blows up? Criminals, huh? Oh, they're saying that the firefighters aren't doing enough to protect them. Well, I wonder why. Their tires are all flat. Let's see. Documents obtained, this is from the Post-Millennial, revealed eight tires were slashed on four different vehicles. Growing frustration. There are no leads in the case, and so on and so forth. Okay, so thieves are breaking in to fire departments and fire trucks and stealing equipment, all kinds of this. More signs of the total breakdown of society. When the mobs start looting the vehicles of the firefighters, you know things are getting bad. And then another day, another killing of a left-wing virtue signaling, lefty person. Here we go from Zero Hedge. Fatal New York City stabbing of a social justice activist caught on CCTV, the second time in a week. A left-wing activist has been murdered in a major U.S. city where the soft-on-crime Democrat policies have resulted in more crime. Oh, who would have ever thought that? So the social justice advocate, who I'm not going to name, was stabbed to death in the Crown Heights neighborhood of New York City. Now, I saw the video. I'm not going to play the video for you because it's very simple. The guy, I mean, there's a crazy person on the street with a knife. And this guy is telling him to chill out. And he keeps like pushing him away in the chest. In other words, the guy who was killed is pushing away the thug, pushing his chest away. And clearly the thug has a knife. And then the thug says, what are you looking at? And then he stabs this victim in the chest several times. The victim, only 32 years old, who attended a wedding with his girlfriend, pronounced dead at Kings County Hospital. And I did analyze this video, and it was obvious that this guy, this lefty person who is now dead, had zero knowledge of self-defense. Zero knowledge. I mean, he made so many mistakes, and he had many opportunities, by the way, to leave or protect himself or quickly, you know, attack the knees and legs of the attacker. And also, he could have just had a Glock with him. But of course, leftists don't believe in guns. They frankly, they believe in criminals. And then those criminals keep killing them. And I just wonder, how many leftists are there going to be left by the time Election Day rolls around? Have you ever thought that maybe the reason Joe Biden has only 9.5% support is because so many of his supporters are dying from being injected with the spike protein, killed off with myocarditis, heart attacks and strokes and ventilators and remdesivir, and then stabbed and shot and burned alive by all the violent criminals that they let back onto the streets through their left-wing policies? Did you see? I didn't play this video either, but yesterday there was some thug went into a convenience store and like squeezed lighter fluid all over the face of the store clerk and then set him on fire. And the dude's face is on fire while the thug is looting the store, like a 7-Eleven or something like that, a Quickie Mart, something. I mean, these violent criminals are completely out of control, and these leftists keep excusing them. Do you know people like that? Do you know lefty people who are always making excuses for the criminals and for the addicts? Because I know people like this. They're disgusting. It's like your whole life, all you do is make excuses for people. You never hold anybody accountable. It's always, a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. And a fifth. Really? Where do you draw the line? Oh, you don't, because you're dead. Eventually, they end up killing you, which is what keeps happening to these lefty people. So I tell you what, I wouldn't walk around New York City without a gun, which means I wouldn't walk there at all because I don't think I could legally carry a gun in New York City. And since I do uphold the law, by the way, I don't go to New York City. The last time I was in New York City was to appear on the Dr. Oz show, by the way, many years ago. And even then, I felt nervous not having a gun with me. I mean, and by the way, Dr. Oz beat Fetterman. Dr. Oz should be Senator Oz right now, but, you know, of course they cheated. But anyway, that's the last time I was in New York City. I have no interest in going back, especially not now. Things are so much worse these days, and I won't go anywhere unless I can have firearms with me, frankly. And so that means probably not L.A. or Chicago either. I mean, you're just asking to die. I mean, how insane do you have to be to think, oh, yeah, they've defunded the police. They're letting all the criminals loose on the streets. They're not protecting the border. You know, the drug traffickers, human traffickers, and weapon traffickers are just marching right into the country. They're coming to New York City. I don't have a gun. I don't have a knife. I don't know any self-defense whatsoever. Yeah, let's just go out on the streets at night and see what happens. How can you not expect to die? I don't get it. But then again, they're leftists, which means they have to be mentally ill in the first place. So I guess that means there were at least two crazy people on the sidewalk at the same time. One of them had a knife. One of them got stabbed with a knife. There you go. But the situation, it's getting insane. It's so bad that Victor Davis Hanson, as a guest with Tucker Carlson, he warned that, quote, we're in the middle of a revolution. He said the next 12 months will be the most explosive in history. Does that give you a sense of excitement or dread? I mean, this, for whatever reason, God intended all of us to be here at this time. But man, this is going to be the most trying time in human history. No question. Victor Davis Hanson says, quote, it's hard for most Americans to comprehend the total dishonesty of American liberalism. Liberals are now telling us they plan to protect American democracy, and that's the clearest possible sign that they intend to end it. So in other words, to protect democracy, they have to destroy it. To protect the freedom of speech, they have to end freedom of speech. To protect elections, they have to rig elections, and so on and so forth. This is the way leftists think. Hanson goes on and says, quote, I think they've come to the conclusion that Trump is an existential threat, and by association, half the country is, to their vision of what they want to transform us into. And so they feel that whatever means necessary are justified. Yep, that's exactly what the left believes. He goes on, he says, we're in the middle of a cultural, economic, political revolution. We think that we're still playing within the same sidelines or parameters, and we're not. Everything's under negotiation. The idea is now that we now have the power to do this. And because we have the power to do it, it's moral and right. And if you don't like it, what are you going to do about it? He's talking about the way leftists think, that they have the power to silence people. They have the power to criminalize and jail their political enemies, like Trump, for example. And so they're just going crazy with their power to demolish human rights and civil rights and constitutional rights and legal rights and all of that. There are legitimate efforts to rectify and stop this madness, he says, Hansen says, and let's see what happens in 2024. You need leaders who will tell people that we are in a Jacobin takeover of this country, and the old get along at any cost does not work. I hope everybody can keep their head, because I think the next 12 to 18 months are going to be the most explosive in our history since the Great Depression. Well, I think it's going to be since 1776, frankly. That's what it's looking like more and more. We're on the verge of a revolution, and you hear about it here every day. You see what's happening. While we're being ruled by clowns and morons, of course. I mean, a good example of that is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is now defending low IQ Congressman Jamal Bowman, who, of course, tells us that he pulled the fire alarm thinking it would open the door. And Ocasio-Cortez thinks that's perfectly reasonable. that you can't read the word fire on the fire alarm, which is on a wall that's perpendicular to the door. And why would you? And there's no signage that says to open the door, pull this alarm. I mean, that's insane. But AOC thinks that makes perfect sense, because she is also super low IQ. I mean, her IQ has got to be, I don't know, maybe 90, I'm thinking, on a good day, when she's got plenty of caffeine and she's got plenty of sleep and no stress, no time pressures. She's running about a 90 IQ, I think. She's about a D-plus student academically, but, you know, she's an actor. She knows how to act the part, and that's what she was hired to do, obviously. You know, I was joking about Jamal Bowman yesterday, saying, you know, be careful going into the men's restroom, you know, in the Capitol building, because Jamal Bowman may have crapped in the sink thinking that that's a toilet, and that these sink knobs, that's how you flush the toilet. So you got a sink full of Bowman's biosludge there. But I was also thinking, how does Bowman drive? If you don't understand levers and things and how doors work, I mean, how does Jamal Bowman get in and out of a car? Like, if he's in the driver's seat and he wants to get out of the car, does he just, like, turn on the windshield wipers? I thought that would open the door. Does he pull the emergency brake? I thought that would open the door. When he's driving, does he just, like, throw the vehicle into park? I thought that's how you park. You throw it into park. You know, I mean, someone that stupid is not safe to have in society, and is certainly not safe running society or having the power to create laws. If you can't read the word fire, you should be fired from Congress. End of story. And I love how the left-wing media is all running around making excuses for Jamal Bowman. Like, no, it was all legitimate. He thought that fire meant open. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's perfectly reasonable to do that. Well, the same left-wing media, like Politico now, is engaged in Holocaust revisionism. They're now defending the Waffen-SS Nazi that was celebrated by Trudeau and the Parliament of Canada. I mean, they brought in a Nazi named Hunke, who was in the Waffen-SS 14th Division that carried out war crimes against innocent people, including Poles and Jews, by the way. Canada celebrated this guy, and then it comes out, oh, he's a Nazi. I mean, how did you not know when they were celebrating him? They said, oh, yeah, he fought against the Russians in World War II. Well, who was fighting against the Russians? The Nazis were fighting against the Russians, and now Politico is out there whitewashing this whole thing, or Nazi washing it, I guess you could say. I mean, it's incredible. There's an article in Politico that, well, let me read the headline. From Politico.eu, fighting against the USSR didn't necessarily make you a Nazi. That's the headline, except that this guy Hunka volunteered for the Waffen-SS. Now, okay, he wasn't like yanked out of his home as a teenage boy and said, you have to fight. He volunteered for the Waffen-SS, which is one of the groups that carried out on record war crimes against Jews and Poles and other people in the area. I mean, there's no question about this. And yes, if you sign up for the Waffen-SS, you are a Nazi. So isn't it interesting that Politico, which has for years attacked so-called right-wing Nazis in America, who are mostly just feds dressed up as Nazis, you know, waving costume flags and banners that they bought on eBay or something to try to pretend like there are Nazis in America, because there aren't hardly any actual right-wing Nazis, but there are left-wing Nazis and Nazi advocates. Justin Trudeau is one of them. The entire Canadian Parliament supported this guy. Now Politico is whitewashing. So the left-wing media is now covering up for Nazis in exactly the same way that the media run by the Third Reich covered up for Nazis in World War II. I mean, what's next? Are we going to hear from Politico that eugenics is good? That a master race needs to be, you know, reformed or something? I mean, what's next from Politico? Why not just say you're Nazi lovers at this point? I mean, I can see a follow-up story from Politico. Just because you volunteered to join the Waffen-SS and mass murder Jews doesn't make you a Nazi. Like, that's going to be their next thing. I mean, what is the ADL thinking about all this? What are Jewish Americans thinking about this right now? Hey, Politico, why are you making excuses for Nazis now all of a sudden? What? Why are you running cover for the Canadian Parliament that celebrated a Nazi? So Politico demands that we have a, quote, more balanced view of history. I mean, isn't that exactly the language that you hear from Holocaust deniers? You have to have a more balanced view. There are subtleties and complexities, you know? So I guess next, Politico is going to be saying, well, you know, there really weren't gas ovens exterminating Jews. You have to have a more balanced view of history. I mean, anything's possible. Isn't it funny how, kind of terrifying, how rapidly the left are becoming Nazis and defending Nazis and excusing Nazis and whitewashing history? It's incredible. You know, it's almost as if the left-wing media today and the Biden administration wishes that Adolf Hitler had defeated Russia in World War II. They would be celebrating that because they want Germany to win against Russia. Clearly. I mean, they're calling for it now, and they're excusing the Nazis from World War II. And they're demonizing the Russians. I mean, it couldn't be more obvious. You know, the Russians were our allies in World War II, in case anybody has forgotten. The Russians sacrificed over 20 million people to defend their country against the Nazis. America lost nowhere near that. I think in World War II, America lost, 500,000? I forgot the exact number, but it's nothing like what the Russians lost. I should probably look that up to double check that. Hold on. Okay, I'm looking that up just to get this correct. It's officially 405,000 U.S. soldiers were killed in World War II. Another 670,000 were wounded. So the total, quote, casualties is a little over a million. But 400,000, roughly, Americans died in World War II. Russians lost 20 million plus, and by some estimates, it was actually 30 or even 40 million. You know, the historical records are kind of difficult to acquire. 400,000 Americans died in World War II. Well, do you realize that according to the U.S. Army War College, that if we go to war with Russia now, today, you will have 100,000 Americans dead every month which means that in just 4 months of combat with Russia, America will lose more soldiers dead than in the entire Second World War. And those are U.S. Army War College numbers. I mean, do the math. I think they said 3,600 per day dead Americans. And that's what Joe Biden wants to get us into. To fight the Russians, the same Russians that defeated the Nazis. So what does that make America then? Insane, I think, or at least the Biden regime. Can you imagine the Democrats who are now the pro-war party? Can you imagine the Democrats cheering, yay, 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 100,000 Americans dead every month, and it's so worth it. It's so worth it to defeat the Russians. And the thing is, even if 100,000 Americans die every month, there won't be 100,000 Russians dying. It might be 10,000 Russians. It'll probably be like 10 Americans dead for every one Russian dead. Why? America's run out of munitions. Doesn't have artillery. I mean, doesn't have the munitions for the artillery. And the Russians have, in the last year and a half, they have become experts at modern warfare. The Russian soldiers, no matter what you think of the politics of Putin or whether Russia is right or wrong with its special military operation, the Russian soldiers are now veterans. They are experts. They are experienced. And they are using drones in combination with overwhelming artillery force. They have massive domestic production. And by the way, they're recruiting hundreds of thousands of more soldiers so that Russia could field an army of over 1 million people in a land war. What does the U.S. military have? Let's see, have run out of ammo. And the dare I say, overweight, overprivileged, overfed soy boy snowflake recruits aren't willing to fight and are too fat to fight, frankly, for soldiers, and are incapable. They're too stupid to fight. You know, a smart soldier is an effective soldier. Today's public education system is a clown show. It's an embarrassing, pathetic clown show of total failure. It's not churning out students who can actually go to war effectively. Going to war effectively is not just about throwing body mass at the enemy. It's about being smart. Our schools aren't producing smart students anymore. They're producing illiterate people who can't do any math and can't even read. And we have a member of Congress that can't even read the word fire. It pulls the fire alarm. That's how crazy it is. We've got entire schools in Baltimore and Philadelphia that can't pass a single student who is competent in mathematics at even a basic level. They probably can't even do, like, you know, what is 20 plus 40? I don't know. They have no clue. How are you going to calculate the ballistic trajectory of artillery? How are you going to compensate for windage and bullet drop? How are you going to just count the number of pallets of 155 artillery shells that have been loaded onto the truck? Did you know that people can't count? Did you know, I'm not even making this up. Did you know that I have fired people from my warehouse because they can't count? They can't count boxes. No, we seriously, we have a test. Before we hire somebody, we have a test. We take them out to the warehouse, and there's a bunch of boxes that are cases of a product on a pallet. And it's in the middle of the room. There's a pallet. There's some boxes on it, and there's products in the boxes. And we ask them a simple question. Tell us how many total products there are there. Take all the time you need. Count them. Do your math. Use a spreadsheet. Whatever you need, freaking Google it. Tell us how many products are on there. The products like shampoo or whatever. Tell us how many bottles of shampoo are on that pallet. Do you know that almost nobody can do this in America? Did you know that? I'm serious. There's almost nobody, at least who are applying for warehouse jobs. I should qualify that. Almost nobody applying for warehouse jobs can count bottles of sham freaking poo. Okay? That's how insane the failed education system is. And you think you're going to take these people and put them in tanks and put them on artillery teams and have them flying F-16s around? No way. They have no clue. They can't calculate how much fuel is remaining on the jet. I'm sorry. The education system has completely failed. And because it has, you can't field the military and you have no industrial base anyway. So I hope you're ready for 100,000 dead Americans a month, you warmongering leftist lunatics and rhinos in the House, McCarthy and others. I hope you're ready for 100,000 body bags of dead Americans every month coming home because of you and your greed and your kickbacks, because you want war, you want to get paid, and you're willing to sacrifice millions of Americans and also, by the way, hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians and Russians at the same time. Doesn't matter how much blood is spilled on the battlefield, as long as you get your kickbacks and you get your money and you get your fundraising and your votes and your national emergency so that you can have more power over the people, you freaking treasonous scumbag traitors. That's what you are, taking us into war because it benefits you. The blood is on your hands. I mean, probably the only Americans that they can find that can even fight the Russians, like that crazy violent criminal that just did the stabbing in New York City. Like, you slap a helmet on that guy and send him in the direction of the Russians. Go stab somebody. He could probably get the job done. But beyond that, no. The U.S. military has become the laughingstock of the world, a clown show of transgenderism and LGBT themes, like clowns with helmets, man. It's insane. And I'm sorry to those who are active duty. I have always supported veterans, and I know you're as frustrated about this as I am. And I hope there's a chance to save the military and the culture that once made the United States Marines so great. I hope there's a chance to turn this around, but you got to admit, the leadership are insane. They've abandoned everything that once made the military great. And what we have right now is the laughingstock of the world. Couldn't fight 1 month against the Russians. Couldn't last a month. I mean, the U.S. military fled Afghanistan. Fled goat herders with AK-47s who don't even have night vision. And the U.S. military turned tail and ran, surrendered, was routed from that theater of battle. And you want to tell me that the same military that can't fight goat herders is going to go up against the Russian military? The most effective anti-air defense systems and hypersonic missiles and artillery systems that exist in the world today, when you couldn't beat the goat herders? Really? You're insane. And I guess it's going to take, you know, a million dead Americans on the battlefield before anybody gets this. But the Democrat Party is now the party of war. The rhinos are the party of war. Lindsey Graham, war, 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 more death, more money. And Kevin McCarthy, too. You all deserve to be removed from office by the voters. And by the way, speaking of war, there's a war on your health freedom in Texas. Yeah, it's not from the government of Texas. It's from Baylor. Baylor College of Medicine. In Houston, Texas, has just announced that they're going to mandate the COVID booster shot for all of its students, all of its faculty, and all of its employees. So in the state of Texas, which is supposed to be a shining example of health freedom and the rule of law, sanity, we have Baylor College of Medicine, run by extermination agents who are pushing biological weapons on their own faculty. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to be killing their own students, killing their own faculty, killing their own employees. Of course, this is what they're all about. Baylor. Uh-huh. They issued a statement on September 28th. An updated COVID vaccine has been approved by the FDA, which is a lie, by the way. It has never been approved by the FDA. It was designated emergency use authorization, which is not drug approval. It bypassed drug approval. Drug approval requires clinical trials, long-term testing on a large number of human subjects. I mean, you would think a college of medicine would know this. Of course they know this. They're just lying. So they say it has been approved by the FDA. You're lying. And then they say a single dose is recommended for individuals 6 months and older. Really? For infants? You're going to inject infants? Because protection from prior vaccination fades over time, they say, which means, ha, 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 the joke's on you. If you took the old vaccines, they don't work anymore, you fools. And this updated vaccine better matches the current circulating strains, they say. Oh, really? No, it doesn't. This is already out of date because the virus mutates faster, at least in your germ theory. The virus mutates faster than you can actually produce new vaccines. But they say the updated dose is recommended. Well, I want to send out a message to Attorney General Ken Paxton, who survived the Rhino impeachment effort. And we supported Ken Paxton through all of this. We knew he was innocent from day one. We published many stories about Paxton's innocence. Well, we would like to encourage Ken Paxton and Governor Abbott to launch an investigation into the Baylor College of Medicine for violating the civil rights and human rights of students, faculty, and employees by forcing them to take an untested experimental injection that is actually not a vaccine, but a gene therapy experiment, which violates the Nuremberg codes, by the way, since World War II has been a theme today. There you go. It violates the Nuremberg codes. Why would you subject your own students, faculty, and employees to a medical experiment that has never been shown to be safe or effective? It has not been approved by the FDA. And if anything, it's been shown to harm people, to kill people, to make people infertile. That is a crime. That's a crime against your faculty, students, and employees. And I think that the people in charge of this decision at Baylor College of Medicine, in my opinion, should be, in fact, arrested, indicted, prosecuted for carrying out illegal medical experiments on their students, faculty, and employees, groups of people over which they have undue levels of influence and coercion. They forced their students into an unsafe medical experiment. And I think, by the way, all the students, faculty, and employees who are harmed by these vaccines should sue Baylor College of Medicine. Sue them. Sue them for every last dime that they have and shut them down, because Baylor is an embarrassment to the state of Texas in particular and an embarrassment to the American people. Texas State Representative Brian Harrison spoke to the Epoch Times about this. He says, "This is Texas. We should not tolerate this here." Amen, brother. The governor should demand we pass the COVID Vaccine Freedom Act in a special session. Absolutely. This makes no sense that people aren't protected. The Senate has passed it. The governor has called for it. And members of the House overwhelmingly support it. Now we need to do it. Yes. Amen. So if those of you listening today, if you're from the state of Texas, please call your Texas state representatives and urge them, and call the governor's office and urge them politely to convene a special session and to pass the COVID-19 Vaccine Freedom Act, which would prohibit Baylor from pulling this nonsense on its students and staff and so on. We need health freedom in Texas. It is time to get this done. And by the way, we also need a special session in Texas to protect the wide open border. And Ken Paxton is very much aware of that. So is Governor Abbott. So are other lawmakers. The thing is, in Texas, there are lots of people in government who actually get it, who know what needs to be done. There is a willingness to get it done. They just have to go through the motions and tie up the loose ends, get this done. Stop the invasion. Stop the toxic vaccine injection mandates that are harming Texans, by the way, and restore freedom and security to the people of Texas who pay the taxes and pay the salaries of all the government employees in Texas. All right, check out this story, switching gears a little bit here from Remix News, which covers news in Europe. In Germany, 87-year-old woman jailed for anti-migrant social media posts. 87-year-old woman. She's gone into hiding for months after being convicted and sentenced to prison for provocative posts published on social media against migrants and asylum seekers. The pensioner was detained by police officers in Rothenburg and transferred to a correctional facility to serve an 8-month prison sentence. Now, look, I want to be clear that whatever this woman is posting from the story, it sounds like it's probably, you know, pretty disgusting type of stuff. Now, she's not calling for violence. She's not, you know, posting illegal actions or encouraging people to engage in illegal actions. She is just saying some very offensive stuff against migrants and asylum seekers. Well, apparently that's a crime in Germany. So she's actually being jailed for that. It's a crime. Now, to say something that the government doesn't like you to say. Now, what's interesting, though, is if you're in Germany and you support the Nazis that are fighting Russia, well, there would be no problem. You could actually be a Nazi supporting the Nazis fighting Russia, and the government would praise your speech. But if you are opposed to migrants, oh, that's no, that's not allowed. Now, check this out. From humanevents.com, UK police arrest British journalists for posting, quote, malinformation about Ukraine and Justin Trudeau by invoking the Online Safety Act, the new censorship law in the UK called the Online Safety Act, allows the government to order the arrest or detention of anyone that they claim to be, quote, hateful, or anyone who the fact checkers say is posting, quote, misinformation. I mean, really? So now you can be arrested in the UK for saying that these vaccines have never been approved by the FDA. Because the fact checkers will say, well, that's misinformation, and that's a crime. Or if you say that, you know, Juncker was a Nazi celebrated by the Canadian Parliament, even though that's true, the fact checkers will say, no, it's not true. So now this is the criminalization of speech across the United Kingdom. And this man, his name is Warren Thornton. He was streaming an edition of his podcast called The Real Truth when Bristol police officers came to his front door and demanded that he speak with them. Thornton is a critic of NATO's escalation of the war in Ukraine and has posted several videos about Ukrainian attacks on Russian civilians and the existence of secret biolabs in Ukraine. And he also reported about the Waffen SS Nazi soldier that was allowed to sit in the Canadian House of Commons during a visit by Volodymyr Zelensky. So you see this man, what's his name again? Warren Thornton. He's out there telling the truth. He's just reporting the truth about all of this, and he gets arrested in the United Kingdom. That's, and a law like this is coming to Canada, by the way. And they're trying to push this in the United States, where they say, if you post anything that they claim is misinformation, you go to jail. This is how they plan to shut down all debate and all whistleblowers and establish a total monopoly over speech. This is pure Orwellian. This is communism on steroids. This is a dystopian sci-fi collapse society where speech is a crime and war is peace, right? And government lies are truth. Their lies are facts, but your truth is a crime. We're there now. We are there now in the UK and coming soon in Canada, and they're pushing it in the United States. This is also the case in Australia right now and New Zealand. They have silenced so many people. I know people that are trying to escape Australia right now because of this, because they know if they don't get out, they're going to go to jail for merely telling the truth. The kind of truth that I'm sharing with you every day here as a Texan, as an American, these truths that are inconvenient to the official narrative, but that are also very, very powerful. Like Tucker Carlson said, keep telling the truth, because the more censorship exists, the more powerful the truth becomes. All right, bottom line, folks. Yeah, things are getting crazy out there. The world, as you know, is completely insane, but we're doing our best to tell the truth, to empower people, to help you survive the collapse that is underway. You can see it every single day. And I've got an amazing interview coming up for you here with Josh Del Sol about the 5G summit that starts this Saturday. It's free to register and watch. Just go to brightu.com and you can watch that. First, I just want to give a little plug here for healthrangerstore.com and tell you about something cool we have coming up involving the laboratory microscope, which I now have set up in the studio. So we're going to start bringing you some pretty amazing live microscopy or video microscopy from the studio itself coming soon. So check out this announcement and store ad, and then we'll have the interview on the other side of that with Josh Del Sol. Thank you for listening. God bless America. Let me give you a little heads up of some of the cool things we have going on here. I brought in my laboratory microscope, and I'm going to keep it here on the desk for quite some time, and we're going to be showing you microscopy, live video footage during the show of various foods and supplements. And I'm doing some tests with magnets involving the magnetic ink printing on certain pharmaceuticals. So that's all going to be done with the microscope coming up. Be sure to watch each episode of Brighttown Broadcast News in order to see those videos. It's going to be very fascinating. And we're also getting some more cricket foods in here. So we're going to show you some cricket snacks, like onion sour cream flavored crickets and barbecued crickets. And not that we're advocating eating those. We're mocking the globalists and the eat the bugs. We're going to show you what the bugs look like under the microscope, and it's not pretty. Trust me on that. Now, in terms of supporting us, by the way, thank you for your support. HealthRangerStore.com is where you find our products. And we have right now, I put a little assortment on our desk. We've got a little bit of NAC still remaining in acetylcysteine. That's the way most people like to pronounce it. So NAC, but the supply is running out. We are going to be out in about probably less than a month. So if you want to get NAC that is lab tested, make sure you get that from our store, healthrangerstore.com. We also have liposomal vitamin C right there, as you can see, which is very useful for maximum assimilation and absorption of vitamin C. And then we have electrolytes, concentrated mineral drops in the tall bottles there behind that. And if you don't have the electrolytes that your body needs, your cells really can't function correctly. And this gives you an outstanding balance that is, of course, laboratory tested to make sure that it's not contaminated with heavy metals and glyphosate or microbiology and all the other things that we test at our lab. So we're going to be bringing in more lab testing, by the way. Dioxin testing is coming online later this year, before the end of the year. And then the microscopy is going to start very soon. I can't wait to show you some interesting things under the microscope. Here's the remote control pad for the microscope right here. I don't know if you can see that. Yeah, there it is. It's got a little joystick here to move things around. It's got like zoom and lights and everything. So we're going to plug that in, and you're going to be freaked out when you see all that. In the meantime, thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams of Brighttown.com and also HealthRangerStore.com. Check out our full assortment of nutritional products, foods, superfoods, storable foods, and so much more, all at HealthRangerStore.com. Here's Opti, MSM, and so on, tooth salt. You can just go through the hundreds of products that we offer there, knowing that they are the cleanest and most nutritionally potent that you will find anywhere on the planet. HealthRangerStore.com, and thank you for your support. Welcome to today's interview on Brighttown.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighttown. Thank you for joining me today. And I've got two very special guests joining me by video. We have Josh Del Sol, who is the creator of the 5G Summit series that is going to blow your mind, and it begins broadcasting this Saturday. And we'll tell you how to register for that. And then also another guest is Cal Washington, who is the co-founder of an organization called Empower, which is found at empowermovement.org. That'll get you to their website. And welcome both of you to the show. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to join us. And let's do some quick introductions, since this is the first time we've been able to speak. So Josh, your 5G summit, it's already blowing people's minds. Even just the trailers and info. Tell us a little bit about that summit, if you would, to start off, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the content is content we accumulated from before. It was in previous launches and releases, and we're so stoked to be doing that now with your platform, Mike, at brightnew.com. With the two previous launches we reached over 400,000 people. So, and this was recognized by many as a seminal event to get the best information to you on 5G. And so for those that have not, didn't either see the previous release or want to get some new content in there as well, we put our heart and soul into make this the best single opportunity for both awareness and solutions for the 5G agenda.
Okay, outstanding. That begins this Saturday, October 7th, and it streams through October 16th. It's free to watch. You register, you can watch it for free. You can optionally download and purchase the entire program and additional materials, but that's not required. Just go to brightu.com to register. All right, now, Cal, you are with InPower. You're the co-founder of InPower. Also, Josh was involved in the founding of InPower. I'm not familiar with what InPower is doing, so please give us, if you would, an overview of the organization.
Well, it's based on an experience I had in court and in a personal way, and I discovered a jurisdiction that was this mostly hidden from us, and it's a very powerful jurisdiction and deals with commerce. So what we found is some of the weapons that they're deploying, I'll use that term boldly, they're doing it through commercial means. They're getting our agreement, they're advertising it, they're making it sound like it's something that we want. And so they're deploying weapons using commercial means, and we have a way of countering that, because commerce is always about agreement. So we can have a counter offer, and we get them into a position where they're in default, and then they have to pay a daily fee.
Whoa. Okay, we want to hear more about that. But when you say weapons, I noticed from your website you're talking about 5G, vaccines, geoengineering, smart meters. What else is on that list?
That's it, just the four.
Those four, okay. Yeah. So yeah, I think our audience understands those are weapon systems that are being deployed against us right now. But the general understanding of most people is that you just have to click, I agree, in order to use the iPhone or use the website or use the service, and there's no ability to negotiate with those commercial entities, as crazy as that is. So how are you accomplishing through InPower the negotiation?
Well, the negotiation starts with, we say that they're offering these products, and then we will agree, conditionally accept their offer on the ground that they prove that they're safe. And because they're weapons, you can never prove a weapon is safe because it's not designed to be safe. So that creates a problem for them. They cannot prove that it's safe. And then we say, if you keep deploying these weapons in my vicinity, then I'm going to charge you X amount of dollars per day. Do we have a deal? Because they started the process, and so they have to continue the they can't just back out of a contract offer. So, and if they go silent, then they've agreed, and they were relying on silence as agreement for these four agendas as well. So we just basically take the same tactic that they do and flip it back on them, ping pong it back.
Well, okay, this sounds fascinating. I want to learn more, but my first question is going to be, well, they never agreed to pay a daily fee. They're not going to consent to your counter offer. So how are you legally binding them to a counter offer that they will not agree to?
Because they started with a tacit agreement. So they put out the smart meters, and then they say, yeah, you have to take this thing, whether we agree or not. And it's our silence that they're relying on. So it is a tacit agreement contract to start with that they've started. And so we just flip it back on them.
So
we're very clear that in the contract that silence will be taken as agreement. We say it over and over. So there's, and they can always counter back.
So do you have lawyers that write up a counter offer and send it to the corporations and say, this is our counter offer. And then, if we don't hear back from you, we're going to charge you X dollars per day, or how does that work?
No, we don't have lawyers. This is done, man to man. But what we normally get back from them is there is no basis in law for what you're doing, or a response similar to that. But we've also noticed that some people in very powerful positions step down from their positions. As they're saying there is no basis in law, they also are heading out the back door.
Okay, interesting. Well, I want to ask you more about that. Let's come back to that. Let me bring in Josh Del Sol again, though, to talk about the harms of 5G, because that's intrinsic to both of these conversations here. So your 5G summit, it does exhaustively cover the harms. As I understand it, you have over 40 experts that are participating or speaking in the summit, correct? What's the actual number that you interviewed for this?
I think it's 42, and there's 44 or 43 rather specific talks that are in the summit. And if you own it permanently, you get bonuses on and a course and a masterclass. But yeah, we basically, dug really deep to get the best quality content and the best quality interviews, the PhDs, the leading PhDs like Magda Havas, Dietrich Klinghart, Dr. Ronald Melnick, who actually authored a very important study called the NTP study on cancer, brain cancer, and wireless. And we have safety advocates like Cece Doucette. She's a national leader. And other academics like Dr. Martin Paul, who, as you see the summit, you'll see his work on causation on the wireless aspect regarding peroxynitrite, which some of the viewers are familiar with, Mike, perhaps yourself.
Yes.
Is very, very central. So he presents it in detail. We got two parts with Dr. Martin Paul. And in one of those talks, he gets into what's highly relevant now, I think, at this time, which is the science-based possibility, and some would say probability, that wireless proliferation, whether directed or not, has an impact in wildfires.
Whoa, so, okay.
We go pretty deep into it. And then some of the new content is with Cal and his associate David at InPower Movement, and what they're doing with this wave that's happening right now. I look forward to you learning more about it, Mike, because it took me a while to get it, but when I finally did, I was like, wow.
Well, I have covered the peroxynitrite production, and we've warned people about that. And just for those who aren't familiar with it, upon exposure to 5G electromagnetic radiation, your inside your body is produced these very dangerous free radicals, peroxynitrite molecules that damage the chromosomes of your cells. So these cause chromosomal damage or DNA damage, i.e. can lead to cancer in your body. And in order to counteract that, you have to counteract the free radicals. So you have to have really outstanding nutrition with certain types of antioxidants. We've talked about some of them, like SOD, superoxide dismutase enzyme. Vitamin C is known to help, certain anthocyanins and so on. But for the typical person that's exposed to 5G all day long, their diet can't support nullifying all of that damage. And so they're walking around getting cancer all day through this process. Is that what your expert talks about in the summit?
Cancer is one of the issues. There's more than 20,000, as I understand it, studies now show an indication between biological effect from the type of radiation that 5G includes, and that it is, which is both three ranges of the spectrum. It's low frequency, low 600 to 800 megahertz, and then the mid-range, which is like 4G, and that was like 3G, 4G, the mid-range, and then the millimeter wave on top of it. So it's not just, and it's not just the same amount of transmitters with 5G. It's like the transmitters have to be closer, and so they pack people together, and they have these wireless or 5G or millimeter wave transmitters so that, the original plan outlined every few houses. And so it's not, people think that 5G is just millimeter wave. It's not, but there's more transmitters and there's more frequency ranges. And specifically with regards to the millimeter wave, I want to touch on an interview that we, that was not in the original launch that we added subsequently with Dr. Rashid Batar. And he talks about CIA declassified research reveals massive bio effects from 5G millimeter wave radiation. So yes. We actually do screen shares, Mike, on this. And if people only watch three or four talks watch his, because he's such a great man. I mean, I'm feeling emotion just feeling into him and his energy and his contributions to so much. But that this is an interview that honestly not many people, relatively speaking, have seen yet. And this is very, very critical declassified information. So
I'm glad you mentioned Dr. Buttar. He is dearly missed by all of us. No question about it. And just to remind our audience again, you can watch that interview and the others for free. Just go to brightu.com. That's the letter U. It's short for Brighton University. Brightu.com. And register for free, and you'll be able to watch this beginning Saturday, October 7th. Different episodes each day running on a loop. And then you can watch the whole thing by attending each of the days. Again, no charge in order to get this education. Josh, I just want to thank you, too, for the work that you've done and also working with us to broadcast this to so many new audience members who maybe haven't seen it before, and you have new content in it as well. And we're all up against this telecom monster that just denies anything. It kind of reminds me of big tobacco, like big telecom or big ag, big pesticides, glyphosate, and now telecom. And what I find interesting is that even, for example, RFK Jr., he understands the dangers of cell phone radiation. Children's Health Defense has covered that, and we understand it as well. And let me go to Cal on this. Cal, so in fighting back against these telecom giants, do you feel like you're getting traction with this method that you're describing? I don't fully understand how it works yet, but are you getting some traction in certain ways? You think telecom is being sent or given notice that they need to back down from this mass murder?
Yes, we do. We've seen CEOs of telecoms throughout the world who have stepped down after they've got these, received the documents. And going on with the, the harms like big tobacco, et cetera, we've uncovered their prospectuses for investors, and they have to admit that they expect huge litigation regarding some of these microwaves that they're putting out.
Oh, yeah.
So that they have to give full disclosure. So they're aware that they're in another one of these tobacco asbestos type situations as far as Lloyd's of London goes. So again, they know what they're doing. They know it's wrong. They know it's a weapon, and they expect to get away with it because we're agreeing to it. We all run and get our 5G phones and all that. But we're reversing that and dealing with it as a commercial endeavor.
So how can people participate in your effort to push back against telecom?
Well, we have a private membership association, so everything's in the private. It's protected by the U.S. Constitution because it's technically a church with an integrated auxiliary. Then from there, the documents on the four different agendas, not just 5G, we're also doing smart meters, vaccines, and the spraying in the air. So then you choose your agenda, and then depending on what country you're in, we have a customized NOL for about 19 countries, and then you put in your respondents, and the documents are emailed to you, and then we have instructions on how to get a notary, how to mail, all that stuff. We kind of handhold people through a very complex process.
Okay, wow. So these templates of the letters and the process, then people are sending these to the various telecom companies such as Verizon and AT&T and Apple as well.
Yep.
And what's happening from there?
What happens is either silence, you get no response, or you'll get a lawyer writing back saying there's no basis in law for what you're doing. Then we continue the process because it's a three-step process to get a lawful contract. And then we've noticed that people are stepping down. So we've had, like I said, CEOs of telecoms and electric utilities have stepped down. Other notables are, we've had two premiers in Australia have stepped down, again, giving no notice. We had the head of the CDC step down, giving really no notice and no reason. But in the background, they all received these documents.
But aren't these puppets just replaced then with other willing soldiers of the death march? I mean, how is this solving the problem long term?
Well, they are replaced, but the replacement inherits the process as well. And what we found in particular in Seattle, a mayor stepped down, a new mayor came in, he got notice that that there's a process in play, and he stepped down after a month. And then if you really understand what's going on in the world, you know, the big pyramid, if you're at that sort of mid upper level, you have to go through initiations, and I don't want to get into detail on those, but they're quite heinous. And so it's not easy to get these people to sit in those positions unless you have something on them, and they're going to run out of people that are willing to take this on, take on the full personal liability, because, you know, there's some kind of blackmail on them. They're going to run out of those kind of people, and people are just not going to want to step into them. And part of any kind of LLC, any limited liability corporation, you have to have three positions at least.
Uh-huh.
You can't, otherwise you're not an LLC. So these positions have to be filled, and they're going to run out of people eventually, particularly if we have a lot of people pushing on this. So
right.
We can overwhelm them.
Okay, let me give out your website again. InPower, that's InPowerMovement.org. Right? I get that right? Yeah. InPowerMovement.org.
Now, Mike, we did a special. I just want to say for the 5G Summit audience specifically, InPower set this up, and I worked with your team to set this up. If you go to InPowerMovement.org/5G Summit, so know the /5G Summit, and then I think the deal that you guys did, Cal, was $50 off private membership, right?
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, I brought that up here. Okay. Got it.
So that 000 means this wave has already started. It just started, but people can still get in.
Yeah, well, we're recording this before the summit actually broadcasts, so probably this clock is going to be active starting that day, I would imagine. But yeah, this is great. So you can join the PMA and become part of this movement there. Thanks for adding that, Josh. Now, Josh, my next question to you is, consumers demand convenience, but they're being lied to about the cost of that convenience. Now, consumers always want more and more bandwidth and, to watch videos or live stream or whatever. And as you know, the higher the throughput of the bandwidth, the more dangerous the technology becomes because there's more energy involved in the actual wavelengths and frequencies that are necessary to carry that bandwidth. Well, do you think that when people are properly educated about the risks of harm, that they will be willing to give up some convenience in order to protect their biology? Or do you think that many will just say, I don't care, because there's plenty of people who smoke cigarettes right now, or who, I don't know, jump out of airplanes, which is maybe safe if you do it safely, but not everybody lives. Or how about base jumping? You know, people do that, and a lot of them die. So what do you think the response by consumers is going to be?
I did jump out of an airplane once.
And you made it.
And I made it.
It's still here.
I think it's been said, obviously, that it is perhaps an unfortunate aspect of humanity, of mankind, that things need to be really bad before most of us would change, almost to the point of it being involuntary. And so I think to answer that question, Mike, I see it as, Jesus said, and there's other writings, whatever, it said at the end of this age, there's going to be wheat and chaff, sheep and wolves. There's going to be a separation. And I think that separation really is about choice. And some would say it's about DNA as well. Cal has a really interesting perspective on that. But the choice that we have is found fundamental to, I think, this experience in this physical universe, right? And so some people, when confronted and presented even softly with the information that, oh, you're doing a thing that's causing you and your family harm, would respond to it right away. Yeah, not to get too far into the Jesus analogy, but maybe that's the fertile soil that he talks about. And others, you know, would hear it and be like, think about it for a minute, but then go back to the life of convenience. And so I think we're really being asked at a deep level to come out of these programs, to come out of this programming and these frequencies that are around us, kind of outside of us, and probably more prevalent in cities, both in terms of wireless frequencies and technology related and other forms of EMF, and also in terms of like thought frequencies and how this whole matrix control system works, because we really have to wake up, engage at a deep level, and say yes to life and no thanks to the matrix control system. And that's what we're learning how to do, I think, in a Absolutely. Really powerful way right now.
And do you find that more people are becoming electrosensitive? Because, you know, I've used this term electropollution. As the pollution mm-hmm. becomes more prevalent, it seems like, at least in my knowledge base, but I'm asking you, that we're finding more and more people becoming hypersensitive to electropollution. Is that something that you're documenting or noticing?
I think so. And I tend to notice it if you're more a feeling, you know, than thinking person, and if you're connected with your environment, if you can go to nature and sort of like, you know, feel environmental energies, and if you're sensitive that way, then and sensitive to perhaps, you know, in aspects of consciousness or spirituality or whatever, it seems like there is some sort of correlation there, that there is going to be more likely to be a sensitivity with electromagnetic radiation. And I've had, like, I have experienced some weird things over the years and feeling the energies and different things that seem to be from EMF, as probably most of, you know, your viewers have, Mike, in terms of like, well, this never used to bother me, this holding my phone when it's on, you know, not on airplane mode, or just use of Wi-Fi, or just ringing in the ears, or just I feel so much better when I unplug my smart TV. You know, the place that I'm living at right now came furnished, and I realized I had my EMF testing device, which everyone should have. It's the best investment you can make for $150, and having an EMF testing device so you can see, this is becoming paramount. We need one of these so you can see all the invisible sources around you and then take steps to unplug them or deal with them. But there are solutions. This is what the 5G summit is all about, and it's all about also your choice and you coming in to a deeper embodiment of your choice and the power underneath of it.
Well, one of my crew members was telling me the other day that he has an EMF meter, and he has it in his car. And as he was driving down the highway, he kept it on, and it was sounding off the closer he would get to the cell towers, and it would just go berserk, you know, with the beeps or the buzzes, whatever indicator it uses. And then it would fade away as you get farther away from that tower. But then there's the next tower down the road. And then it happens again. And I agree with you. If you go around your house and you just turn on your EMF meter, you're going to be shocked at what's happening near the electrical outlets. And certainly the breaker box is a hornet's nest of electropollution. But a lot of other appliances and so on can flag that as well. Even, you know, Wi-Fi devices.
And people can get a dirty electricity filter at your box, and they're getting pretty good and pretty effective and lower cost all the time. So yeah, it's not just wireless, right? In terms of EMF.
That's right.
The summit focuses largely on the wireless component and 5G and just the general, you know, infrastructure proliferation. But there's dirty electricity, there's electric fields, and there's magnetic fields. And we've got links to solutions to all of these. So this, I guess you could say, in connection with your previous question, this summit and this event and the Empower movement, really, which is the solution that we strongly recommend, is for the percentage of mankind that can respond when presented with information and can change and can change their mind and take action accordingly.
Exactly. Let me give out the website again. brightu.com. The 5G summit, free to watch, you only register, begins October 7th, runs through the 16th, and it's 40 plus experts on all these issues, also with solutions. It's not just talking about the dangers, it's also talking about solutions. And speaking of solutions, let's get back to Kyle on this. But Kyle, in terms of big picture solutions, how do you think that you can eventually overcome the fact that big telecom bribes our lawmakers in Congress? They're all on the take. you know, both sides.
Yeah, this is the root problem. There's no bad thing happening in Earth that money isn't involved with. And so what we're dealing with is the money. This can be the biggest transfer of wealth the world has ever seen. And I know that sounds very trite the way I'm saying it, but it actually can happen because of this this jurisdiction that's been hidden for hundreds of years, but is still operating. And that whole ilk and all the bribes and the payoffs and just even getting paid to sit in a spot, you know, exorbitant amounts of money, all start to come into question if there's a liability attached to it. And that liability is real. And we can, through these things called bills of exchange, which nobody has heard of, but they're prevalent everywhere. We can actually take the wealth, the perceived wealth, out of the fiat system and put it on these other pieces of paper and redistribute it back to the people. So there's a lot going on with what we're doing. And it's hard to get across in a short interview.
Yeah, because that what you just said is a giant conversation to have. You kind of just plop that out there, and we're going to redistribute the wealth back to the people. Whoa. Obviously, there's a lot of interest in how that works, and there's a sense among the people of that we've all been stolen from with the money printing. Yes. Apple alone is a trillion-dollar corporation that produces devices that produce so much radiation that iPhone 12 has been outlawed in France and it's being looked at in Korea and other countries. And I mean, these are dangerous, unsafe devices, according to the government of France, right? So how long can these corporations inflict this looting, this confiscation of money from the people while destroying the health of the people? It's like health and wealth are both under attack.
As long as we agree, and you get, that is the point. If they get agreement, then there is no harm, no foul. I mean, they're lying, but they're still getting us to agree. So that's the point that they are relying on, and we can switch that so that we only are conditionally agreeing upon them proving that these things are safe, and they can't do it. You know, your analogy of going by the tower, as you move away from the tower, your phone goes up.
That's right, because it has to transmit.
They never put these two things in the same testing. So they're lying. Yes, your phone is, you know, safe when it's X amount of feet from the tower, but as you move away from the tower, it goes up, and they leave that part out.
Right.
That's a really important understanding. Just rudimentary, basic stuff. Using a phone, I mean, it's if you have one bar on your phone compared to most phones, I think have four bars, it could be literally 10,000 times or higher more output because it's working harder to get that high bandwidth that we all want and that connection with the tower. So even as a first step, turning, like, just going in airplane mode, everyone needs to be doing this. And if you're not doing this at night, at least you need to be. But going in airplane mode, especially when you're at your home, use Wi-Fi is one step better than using cell towers, okay?
Right.
And one giant step better than Wi-Fi, the first part A of that is shutting it off at night, sleep better, to calm the energy in the house down. And option B is getting a wired internet. And there's solutions that we present that are one of the bonus items in the 5G summit, Mike. And I link to the specific products that I recommend, even though those links are on Amazon. I apologize. I need to get that off of Amazon, I guess. But there are specific products you can get to both wire your phone, Ethernet wire your phone, so you can use it with no Wi-Fi, with no tower connection, and how to make, you know, how to get internet coverage within your home, Ethernet coverage, without having cords everywhere, and you can still have it in you know, most of the rooms that have a cable outlet. That's one of my favorite technologies called MoCA 2, which again is in my ebook PDF and link to. But people don't really know. I'm sorry for the fire hose on this mic, but I was just like, people don't know about these simple things that we really need to individually, and I think as a collective, as a whole, like start to integrate more of these technologies.
No, I'm right there with you on that. I completely agree. I run everything wired at my ranch and home and so on. What people need to be educated about the physics of this, how it all works. Like you said, when you have fewer bars on your phone, you have to understand your phone is using more energy to transmit in order to reach the tower. And so you need to understand this dynamic of when more energy is produced and what are its effects. And also, I found that a lot of people don't realize that 5G is a directional signal. Whereas, you know, 4G and 3G is, well, you could say planar, but omnidirectional, but typically on a horizon plane. Whereas 5G, it's an antenna array that electronically can focus a beam precisely at your location and can track you. And it does. That's how it works. It doesn't broadcast your 5G communications to the whole city. And one of the ways it's able to multiplex so many calls at the same time is because it's only sending narrow beams to certain users where they are. Well, that means that now you are in a cone of energy that is not existing 20 feet away from you. You're literally in a cone of energy at all times when you're using a 5G phone like that, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's some aspects of 5G that are not fully defined. And we do because industry keeps those secrets very close to our chest. Within the summit, we've identified and we shine light on a number of them. But yes, 5G, the millimeter wave aspect of 5G, so the higher frequencies, usually 28 gigahertz to 60 gigahertz, do have that like laser beam like directional component to their functionality that can be avoided by, again, going in airplane mode. And when you use your phone, if you have one, if you have a smartphone, just look up if you have to and do everything you can to switch out of 5G to back to 4G. 3G is optimal, but very few phones just support only 3G right now.
That's true.
And phone companies are trying to normalize it. They're trying to push it. They're trying to make it so that you can't non-5G. But that's a definite positive step in the right direction. And you can make your phone selection, you know, with this information going forward, what phone you're going to use, if you're going to even use a phone. And this is a whole other aspect of this conversation, that even when you're in airplane mode and even when you have, you know, privacy location services off, many, I believe, especially of the new phones, you know, can still offer government and corporate ability to track you.
Oh, clearly.
So this is, you know, again, it's, I don't know if we want to talk about this, but there is a, you know, information going out there around this PSYOP or this event that may or may not be happening with regards to, using frequencies from 5G towers and other EMF sources. And I think perhaps Gwen towers is the idea of the large towers to activate or change health in our body right now.
Well, I do want to mention that, but on a practical note first, let me just remind the audience to use a de-Googled phone. Because if you use a de-Googled phone, which is a phone that doesn't run the Google Android operating system, it's completely de-Googled, and it doesn't run the Apple iPhone system either. That because Google phones, which is all normal Android phones, are all Google phones, and Apple phones are constantly reporting metadata and keylog trackers and other things to the servers of Google and Apple, which means they're broadcasting very frequently in the background when you aren't aware of it. So they're actually using more battery power and they're subjecting you to more radiation. So if you have a de-Googled phone, that phone is not spying on you constantly. And by the way, I'll just mention our affiliate sponsor in that space, and it took me over a year to find them, is called Above Phone. And that's abovephone.com. You have one?
Yeah, I got one. Great development pathway, super valuable. I've been working with one of their developers on how it could be even be more useful, but I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike.
Yeah, we've had Ramiro here as a guest. You know, he's the founder of Above Phone, and I've got now two of their phones. And but I was running, like, even my other phone was de-Googled long before that. So that's a practical step. If you still think you need the convenience of a phone, get rid of Google, get rid of Apple. That's a step in the right direction. But then all the things that you said, Josh, about airplane mode and turning it, you know, even turn it off at night. And by the way, there's also, there was a story that just popped up today, a geofencing warrant involving a church, I think in California, a church that refused to shut down during the pandemic. And so as everybody went to the church, you know, their mobile phones spied on them and reported their geolocation data back to Google and Apple. And then the government got that data and is trying to prosecute the church and the church members for gathering at a church because their phones spied on them. So, you know, one more reason not to use those phones, not to trust those phones, because they are actually agents of the government. Kyle, I see you nodding. What are your thoughts on that subject?
Yeah, I agree too. You know, if we can deplatform our phones, I just met a guy in South Carolina at a convention. That's what he's offering, and is to clean up our phones and all of our gadgets to so they're not spying on us 24/7. And I think this is a really good way of getting Big Brother out of our life a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. With so many benefits, you know, less exposure to electromagnetic fields, but also the surveillance factors, you know, yep. Privacy. Privacy is a basic human right. And these phones are not only giving you cancer, they're invading your reality. They're invading your home. Who knows when the cameras are operating and they're snapping photos of you. And by the way, there are other devices. I know you've talked about this before, but Kyle, doesn't your overall strategy, doesn't it also apply to things like the Ring doorbells and Amazon Alexa devices and things that are spying on you in your home? And a lot of that is using the same corporate techniques of just trying to trick you into consenting to being spied on.
Yeah, we tend to stick to the four agendas only because we want to make sure that the document is properly being used. So we go with the four things because they're happening the same way everywhere in Earth, and the exact same technologies, same companies, even in some cases. And so some of these peripheral things, it's iffy, and definitely an Alexa type thing. You have, you know, absolutely gone and put the thing in your house, where a smart meter, they're getting your agreement, but it's them pushing it onto your house. And some people definitely don't want them, but they're really being coerced. Same thing with the vaccines and these types of things. So there's some coercion and some push. But an Alexa, you could just unplug it and throw it in the, you know, in the recycling bin if you really wanted to. But trying to get rid of a smart meter or the spraying in the sky is a lot more complex and a lot more difficult. So we want to make sure that we're doing those four agendas only because it keeps everybody safe using the document, and there's no question about what's going on.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Even about vaccines, we're now seeing government agencies like OSHA now coming out and claiming, oh, we never forced anybody to take the vaccine. Everybody decided to do it themselves, even though they did, of course, aggressively push and mandate employers to mandate vaccines. Now they're all backing away and saying, no, you consented to this. They're obviously covering their asses on this because they know what's coming.
Well, consent makes it okay. That's the thing. And so we're taking that principle and flipping it back on them. And that's when you know, people at the higher levels, they understand what we're doing and they run. Like, we're seeing quite a bit of running. So not everybody, it's not like that. But it's a percentage of how many people send the documents. We're seeing a certain percentage of people leaving their positions because they get what's going on. They're going to be held personally liable. Their position won't protect them because it's limited liability. And that's the thing. We're going on absolute liability.
Okay, we only have a few minutes left. This has been fascinating so far. Josh, what are your final thoughts wrapping this up, you know, about 5G in general?
Maybe before we do that, just really quickly to chain off what Cal said. It's interesting that at three different phases, there's been so-called, you know, coincidences with so many people resigning, stepping down, that are being held liable. And we saw this even before In Power Movement. So I made this documentary called Take Back Your Power back, it released in 2013, about the smart meter issue and the problems thereof. And before that, even, I knew Cal a little bit, and I knew his story, that he was doing the different levels at the provincial, federal, and international level, even with the Queen of England at the time, and defaulting high-level officials, and things were happening, and they were stepping down at a remarkable rate, way beyond coincidence. I don't want to, Cal, tell this aspect, the entire aspect of your story. People can actually watch this. Mike and I was thinking about sending you this link, because it provides the complete backstory on the notice of liability on In Power Movement and Cal. And we released this back in 2017. So this is a tried and true established organization that, you know, after Take Back Your Power came out, I went to Cal and I said, Cal, what can we do to stop the smart meter agenda? I thought my movie was going to do it, you know, maybe a lot naive in that regard. So, and then Cal and I, essentially, and others, a team formed In Power Movement, but this has been going, Mike, since 2014 to 2017, we did seed groups in Seattle and Detroit and British Columbia. And the same thing happened there. People started, they were being held accountable, liable. They're stepping down. They don't want the liability in amounts that is way beyond coincidence. And yeah, then now with this latest round, and I will just say, in credit to the Empower team, I haven't been involved in the day-to-day since those days, but they have taken the last 6 years to develop out and build out this notice of liability creator system, which takes all the guesswork out of it. It facilitates support, and it facilitates the documents being created for people exactly, so they don't have to track things like, how much do I do this bill for now that I've defaulted these four respondents? And it does it all for you with full support, and in a community, a private member association community that is next level in terms of positivity and like a can-do attitude. So there's, I think, 600 people in this particular wave, and they're going to be doing these waves every few months, mm-hmm. and they're going to be increasing in size. And so, and they have just, I was on a call last night because there's 8 weekly calls, and you, there's 3 different regions worldwide. And somebody was saying, oh yeah, just kind of almost casually, oh yeah, the premier of Victoria, Dan, whatever his name, he's, you know, he's no longer in office. We sent a whole bunch of people, sent him. And then there was about 3 or 4 like that, just examples of participants on that call that are saying, people are stepping down. And the ones
that,
I helped
Andrews, our favorite tyrant out of Australia.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if you look at
McGowan before that.
Uh-huh. McGowan. So if you look at isolated incidents, it could be like, you know, oh, that's just coincidence. But if you look at across the board, and this is something we noticed, and in 2014 to 2017, every single homeowner in our group of about 20 to 25 who did the notice of liability process to say no to smart meters kept their analog meter in the Seattle wow. area. All of them have. And I believe to this day. So this, I just wanted to offer that in terms of context. Like, the work that I've done has been getting awareness out, but the work that Cal and InPower are doing, and I've looked at many sort of sovereignty teachers and many sort of, you know, Law for Mankind is a great course to take, but these guys are actually applying it in a way that I've never seen anything else comparable out there.
Okay, very, very powerful. We do have to wrap this up. We're out of time, but let me give out the website again. Folks, if you want to join the In Power Movement, it's inpowermovement.org. And then also, if you want to check out the summit, free to watch, begins this Saturday, October 7th. Just go to brightu.com, which is Bright Young University. You'll be able to watch the whole thing for free. You can optionally purchase the course, but it's optional. If you do purchase the course, then the revenues help support Josh Del Sol and Kyle's efforts, and also in part help support this platform as well. So we always appreciate your support. And that enables you to have the downloaded files and all the bonus items on your local computer and you are free to share those files person to person, put it on a thumb drive, hand it to a neighbor, hand it to a friend, educate them, get them on board with the movement. So I want to thank both of you gentlemen for joining me today. It's been a fascinating discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's been great to be on. I just wanted to quickly say, if anyone wanted to watch that video that I mentioned in 2017, it's on YouTube. It's kind of been grandfathered in before the great removal. It's called, if you search In Power Episode 1, In Power Episode 1, you can watch that. That's Cal's story with the notice of liability. And then Cal and Dave are going to be joining us towards the end of the summit. So when you sign up on BrightU, if you click the daily email updates, that option, then you'll get an email for when we can go deeper with Cal as part of the new content within this event.
Okay, outstanding. So many resources. So much to learn, but we're so thankful that both of you are on top of this and helping the world free themselves from the tyranny and also the devastating health implications of what telecom is doing to all of us. So thank you for joining us today. Appreciate both of you. And I look forward to having a very successful summit launch with you and also bringing more people to In Power at the same time. It's been great speaking with you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all of you for watching today. I hope you enjoyed this fascinating interview. Of course, we can only have this kind of interview because we are an uncensored platform, brightion.com. And go to brightu.com to register for the 5G summit, and you'll learn a wealth of life-saving information, eye-opening information that you just won't get anywhere else. So we thank you for your support. Thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of brightion.com. Take care.